I'm Dr. Avery Jackson, and you're watching The Mondo Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Mondo Show. Stay tuned because I have a very special guest, a real doctor. Not that my other friends are not doctors, but they are doctors of theology. But this one is a real doctor. You better hold on to your seats because he's got some answers that he doesn't know he's going to give away. But I wanted you to know something. God is allowing you and I to sit next to people that God has chosen for this season in your life. Amen. And I believe that Dr. Avery Jackson, oof, that's a powerful name right there. Amen. You're going to hear from him because he is changing the world, not only through some of the things that he's standing for, but his life, his ministry, his voice, his passion, and his encouraging many people to understand that it's time for your health to get back in order. So if you're looking for advice on how to get rid of some of this old thinking that you have, get ready because your life is about to be changed once you meet and hear my special guest. He's an author. He's a doctor. He's a married man. He's a father. He's a friend. Amen. But most, he loves Jesus with all of his heart.
Amen.
Dr. Avery Jackson, welcome to the Orange Couch.
Mondo. Thank you, Mondo.
It is such an honor that you're here.
Thank you, sir.
What makes you the way you are? Because I'm glad you are on this side of the fence.
Yes. Well, thank you. It's just wonderful. Thanks for having me. Well, I think, you know, the Lord got a hold of me when I was younger. And, you know, I think about in your book, the things that you've been through, and the Lord was, you know, building you up. You know, and so he did the same thing to me. Age of 80 told me, hey, you're going to be a neurosurgeon. I had no idea, right? I didn't even know what that was.
I can't even spell it.
I know, right? No one in my family was a physician. You know, we were poor in Detroit, lived on the east side. My mom, single mom. But my grandmother, who's from Belize, had a stroke. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, how can I help people who have brain problems like my grandma?
Yeah.
And so he told me about 3 months later, I want you to be this neurosurgeon. I said, I don't even know what this is. So I looked it up, and brain surgeon, spine surgeon, so I'll do it. And so I said, Lord, okay, I'll do it. And that was the beginning of kind of everything that changed my heart, because I already knew that I was committed to something that I didn't invent or think up. The Lord said, this is what you're going to do. This is your calling. This is why you exist on this earth. And so then that changed my perspective when I went through the training, because I understood that this wasn't a choice I had. The Lord said, this is what you're going to do, and I have reason for you to do it.
I want to focus on a couple of things. One, how does faith affect the brain?
Yeah.
And how does the brain get affected by faith?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we got to start changing our stinking thinking, somebody said years ago.
Yeah.
Tell me about your family. How did you grow up? Because you don't get to where you are if you don't have great family behind you.
Yeah, that's Mondo. Thanks for asking. So my mom is just amazing, and my dad's family is from Georgia. They're African American and they're Indian, Native American, actually Choctaw. And my mom's mother is from Belize, and she would speak, you know, Spanish in the home, and she'd sing this little song. Song, Sarah Lynn, la buena, buena, I see le gusta me, I see le gusta me. And it was just so enduring because she really loved us. Although my grandmother had both lots of love, but she also had lots of anger.
Mm, yeah.
And so it was an interesting time, but I was so impassioned to want to do something to help people like my grandmother, because she was just an amazing person. And then that's what took me through, and eventually the Lord told me, you're going to be this neurosurgeon. And so my family came around me, and they were always very supportive. Like, I would study and go out to dinner with my family sometimes, and I always have my books on my lap, you know. But I always wanted, but I love the social. Like, I love my family. Yeah. I love my family. I love family, and I didn't want to separate myself from them. So yeah. Whenever I could be around them, I would. And they were kind enough to put up with me so that I could study and so forth, you know.
That is
and,
so good.
Yeah, and they really supported. One time I was in medical school, and we had anatomy, gross anatomy class. And I was really interested in the anatomy. And, you know, we had this cadaver, right? And we had to dissect certain parts of the arm. And so my family comes in because it's the family day and show and tell. And so they come in, and I started to take some of the tendons and I said, watch this, right? And I'm doing, and the fingers are moving and they're freaking out, right? And I thought it was the coolest thing. And they thought at the end of the day, this is really nice. And hey, if you're into it, keep going, yeah. keep doing it, you yeah. know? And so they were a huge support the whole time.
Oh, man.
You know, but one time my dad said, it's a lot of stress. Now I'm thinking, well, of course it is, but anything you do that's worth anything is going to be, yeah. is going to have some stress. And so you have to choose your pain, right?
You
your
have
pain to walk,
pain.
Right? To walk in faith.
Yeah.
There's going to be pain. Or if you don't walk in faith, you're going to have pain, probably more pain, right?
Yeah.
But in either case, you have to choose. Wow. And so I chose to walk in faith because of what God told me. This is my vision. This is my mission in life. And my family was very supportive. And,
that is awesome. So, what would you tell your younger self? The information, the experience you have now, yeah. what would you tell your, let's say, 19-year-old self?
I would tell myself, Mondo, don't rush it.
Mm.
That, like, God has a plan, and He has people in your life in the future, and He has a plan for you. And so don't second guess His plan and purpose for your life, you know, once you know it. Once you've confirmed that God has talked with you, don't, you know, He'll take care of everything because He loves you. He's yeah. a Father that really loves us. And I just think about all the doors that were closing in front of me in order to become a neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
And how I became frustrated at some point. And now looking back now, it's like, wow, okay, you did it. And now your career is, you know, you're in a new place. I mean, it's amazing to look back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the time, it was really hard. And in terms of the tests and the different things, and the doors were closing, and people yeah. would say, you're never going to make it. You're not going to make it. And the
were
Lord
you,
brought me through.
Were you always a Christian? Because if you were, answer me this question.
Yes, sir.
How did your faith not waver after going through the research of science?
That's a good point. And I think I became born again right around early teens mm-hmm. with my pastor, Bishop Keith Butler. And
great guy.
Yeah, thank you.
His nephew's amazing. I think it's right. his nephew, Kerrick Butler.
Great guy. Yeah, he's a good guy. And so I was taught in the Word, which mm-hmm. was great. And going back to say, well, this wasn't your choice. God said, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Here's your anointing. This is why you're on this earth. Now do it. Right? So as a result, there was no other options.
Yeah.
You're going to be successful in this because God said it, even though it was so painful. When I think back about all the doors, like I said, closing, yeah. and I just want to encourage, you know, all of you that out there that, you know, don't let a momentary disappointment change the path that God has for you, and especially your path of faith and your walk of faith.
Yeah.
Because now I look back and some of the things were silly that I thought, but at the time, well, if you don't pass this test, you don't become a doctor. You don't become a doctor. You can't become a brain surgeon. You can't help people, right?
Yeah.
And so all these things. And so I realized it's not about what you perceive in the physical plane so much as your relationship with the Lord. And so for me, early on, when you were asking, mm-hmm. age of 80, talk to me, became born again, early teens. And yeah. from there, I just took the Lord at face value and wow. said, well, you love me and I'm going to do this.
So, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm still, forgive me because yeah. I'm an ex gang member sitting with an amazing neurosurgeon doctor. And I appreciate you because I met Dr. Avery Jackson through a very sophisticated way of communication called Facebook.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that was so cool. That was
Pastor
cool
Jim deal. Baker and I were watching TV one morning, and I think you were on the Kenneth Copeland program, and Dad said, I want that man on my show. I say, who, Kenneth? He said, no, silly, Dr. Avery Jackson. He said, you know everybody. You get a hold of him. I said, Dad, I don't know. Not just any, but that's a doctor, man. How do you? So I said, you know what? I did what every good research person does. Yeah. Go to Facebook. See if I get a hold of him. And I messaged you. And I think it was several hours later, because you were in surgery, you answered me back. That was so cool. Yeah.
Well, you know, I can tell you, so watching PTL and Pastor Baker and you, I thought, oh my goodness, this is Mondo. This is like cool. I was blown away. So of course I wanted to talk with you and see what you wanted to talk about.
Oh,
so I appreciate you reaching out. That was really cool.
I can just sit here and listen to you because God has given you a gift to really minister to the body of Christ in ways that we haven't not experienced in a long time. Why do you think God has prepared you to be a voice to help us understand all the craziness in the medical atmosphere and sphere? And because you took a big leap of faith to go up against the machine during COVID. Why did you risk it all?
Yeah, well, because, you know, I knew that the Lord wanted me to be, to help people. Mm-hmm. It was all about being a servant. And, you know, and he said, you know, who is the greatest servant of all? Well, of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the greatest servant and the greatest leader. So we saw with COVID that it was, there's some things about it that were really unusual early on. Like we noticed, like in hospitals, for instance, they were replacing certain positions. The primary care doctor who takes care of the family now is being replaced by the hospitalist. We saw that like 10 years or so pre-COVID, and that was unusual. But they were starting to separate what would be a relationship with the doctor and the patients. So I started to notice that, and then COVID hit, and I noticed, Mondo, that these doctors who take care of pneumonias and all the time, all of a sudden were turning their patients away. Sorry. If you turn blue, go to the hospital. I don't want to deal with you. And I, you know, and what came back to me is that these are like the days of Noah.
Yeah.
And that the word says that men's hearts will wax cold, they'll become lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
And I noticed it, there was that flavor that docs, not all docs, of course, but but a lot of docs were just like, hey, I don't know what this thing is. You don't get near me. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to treat you or help you, which I thought, well, why did you give this Hippocratic oath? And now all of a sudden you just want to just dump it? Like, what is that? Are you just playing doctor or are you a real doc?
Yeah.
And so I took it really serious. And my wife and I, Cara Marie, you know, we prayed about it. And the Lord said, you do whatever it takes to help the people around you best you can. So we didn't know what was going on with COVID initially. We did some homework. We met some docs. And there was a need. And the need was two things. Number one, these masks that everybody's diapers, face diapers that everybody was was making, forcing them to wear. And then also this, then later, you know, the vaccine. And also the, and then of course the COVID infection. So we said, okay, here are things that we can do. We can talk, tell people why the masks aren't going to be helpful and how they can hurt the brain structurally, especially our kids. And then we can also start to help people who are getting sick. We can learn. If we're doctors and scientists, we can read. We can read the studies and say, this is going to help people, this isn't, but make some effort. You know, in this day and age, information is king. And we believe whatever we tune into and whatever we watch. And so I really want you to stand with me and Mondo, and to support the Mondo Show. It's programming that's very unique. It's steeped in the Word of God, but it brings an aspect of the Word of God to light and to life as it relates to what's practical in your life. How are we going to be overcomers and conquer these latest issues that we're facing? Everything from anxiety and depression and all the post-COVID and what have you, this is so important for us to get the word of the good news out to the entire world. And I believe that there is an amazing place for Christian television and Christian programming. And I think the Mondo Show falls right into the center of that. So as we know, we stand on the shoulders of some amazing giants that have created the opportunity for people to get the word all around the world and to come right into your living room, into your home, to be able to build your faith. So I just ask and I urge you to stand with me in an effort that will be a hundredfold times return for you and for the your family and for those you love. So stand with me and the Mondo Show. The story is that the Lord put that on my heart. Okay, you're going to do these mask waivers. And I told my staff, okay, we're not going to get paid for any of this, but we're going to have to create these charts. We're going to have to do these virtual view interviews. And it's got to be on my own time. So normally during the week, weekend, not during the week.
Yeah.
So we did all this stuff, changed it all up. And we took care of about 3,000 or 4,000 children and adults in Michigan and said, we're going to write these waivers to help.
Yeah.
So we did it. What happens?
Oh, boy.
And there were 4 different complaints that came out against us. One was actually the Catholic organization in Detroit that came out against us because we were writing these waivers. So anyway, it's just that when my license was threatened because they said, hey, you're just writing these waivers willy-nilly, we said, no. They're established patients. See, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. See, so it pays to listen to the Holy Spirit, even when it doesn't make sense. When everyone else is around you is saying, don't do it.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. So we videos, they were patients, video examinations, and then we didn't charge them. So no one could say, oh, you're trying to make money.
Yeah.
You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. And so it turns out they dropped this case against me, which would have affected my license.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that we followed the Holy Spirit during this time. And so it was really just an amazing thing, you know. And then that led to other things.
Yeah.
That led to writing a mask or a vaccine or supporting a vaccine bill so that they wouldn't force vaccines in the workplace in Michigan. So we went to the Capitol, and I was an expert witness, and I was talking about why this doesn't make sense. And I used the Nuremberg Code in terms of that this is a big experiment, just like back then in Germany, and how you can't force people to do something and they don't have consent.
Mm.
You can't do that, right?
Were you doing this through faith?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to ask you this, right? How does faith affect the wiring of the brain or the brain activity? Yeah. Because a lot of the times when our brain starts sending a signal, you start panicking.
Yes.
You're right. God calls us to have faith.
Yeah.
But the world depends on the signals of the brain. I bet you, what's your wife getting nervous? Like, my God.
Here we go.
Doing?
She's like, here we go. But you know what? But she's awesome, though. I mean, seriously, she hears from the Holy Spirit, and she knows when it's God and when it's just me, right? And so, but you're right. Your faith, what happens in your brain is, first of all, it's all based on your relationships and your beliefs.
Mm.
If you have a relationship with the Lord and you really trust him, you're going to act according to what his word says about that situation. And too often, we don't do that. Instead, we go to what we feel. We don't go to the word and say, well, God, if you're truly Lord, Jesus, you're Lord, what that means is I really don't have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're Lord, when you ask Avery Jackson, what's my opinion? Then I say, just one second. I open up the Bible and I read the scripture and that's my opinion. That's Avery Jackson's opinion, right? If he's my Lord.
Yeah.
If he's really my Lord and Savior. And I think that's an important thing because that's shielding when the enemy comes in with all these thoughts and doubts. Oh, well, this could happen. That could happen. That could happen. And you go to the Word and the Word says, well, no, it's this.
Mm.
That's it. And so that I think is protective because your brain,
yeah.
your frontal lobe is programmed to say this is a more important relationship or stimulus or entity that I have to believe over what I feel or anything else. This is the most important. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ and his word. And that's true faith. And faith, Bishop Keith Butler talks about, he has a book out, talks about the five elements. Obviously, faith comes from by hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, and then acting on what you believe, right? And so your brain will process it in a similar way. Your frontal lobe says, I see that there are these issues, and then you analyze, how bad are these issues? Are this life-threatening? Is it just going to be embarrassing? Is it not a big deal, right? Where is it coming from? And from there, it goes to the amygdala, and the amygdala gets your emotions riled up.
Yeah.
So you can choose to get your emotions riled up in fear, and then you have a faith for the opposite of the word, which is something that's not the blessing, it's the curse. Or you can have your amygdala, your emotions get riled up because you're excited about, okay, if this is an attack and it's not God, then God is only going to bless me even more when I walk through this thing. And I'm going to learn more. Either way, it's advantageous when your mind is stayed on the Lord. And so that's kind of how we felt as we were kind of going through our one challenge. But your brain kind of works in those compartments. And then from there, your thalamus, your hypothalamus, tells the rest of your cells in your body either to prepare for war or to relax. And so when your mind is stayed on the Lord, that's exactly what happens. You tell your body, hey, everything is going to be good. And you have this peace that passes all understanding that you can feel, right? Yeah. Versus like when you're nervous, you've got these butterflies. But when you're standing in faith, there's a joy that you can kind of experience, even in the middle of something that looks hard. And people say, what's going on? Oh, it's good. And you really feel that way.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait, what do you mean? People are confused because they're like, wait, shouldn't you be wringing your hands? What's going to happen? It's like, well, no, because what's the reality? Is the reality the thing that's about to happen, or is reality the word of God? And if I believe the word is true and God loves me, then what do I have to fear? Because he's going to take care of me, regardless, whether it's medicine, whether it's the gangs, whether it's your work, your family, it really doesn't matter. And so that process in my brain and how the brain works and how my heart is connected to the word is kind of what got us through that, part of that time.
Wow. What a word. Author.
Thank you.
Doctor. A man after God's own heart, Dr. Avery Jackson.
Thank you, Mom.
That word is for you. Hide it in your heart today. Be encouraged to know that God's plan for your life is for you to succeed and not fail. That's Jeremiah 29:11. You got to start professing the word of God. You start proclaiming the word of God. You got to quit living. I don't understand why we like to camp out in the places of the valley of the shadow of death. It's just the shadow of things that scare us, that prevents us from believing in a faith that is far greater than who we are. When we are broke, when it doesn't look good, when society is rejecting you, when life rejects you, when people walk away from you, when people betray you, there's something called faith that gets turned on and you begin to believe for the most impossible things to happen in your life. How bad can it get? Well, how about this? How good can it get for me? You see, you got to change the perspective. We're so used to thinking, oh, it doesn't get any worse than this. What about why? Listen, can I tell you this? We're going to get personal for just a moment. Why don't you start changing the way you speak to yourself? Change the way you approach yourself. Amen. Change the way you value yourself, because how you speak to yourself is how you will value yourself. But more than that, how you speak to yourself is how God is going to begin to speak to you about yourself. He values you. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He's so crazy that he sent his only begotten son to die for you and forgive you of your sins. Can you imagine somebody loving you that much that he sent his only begotten son to be ridiculed, to be embarrassed, to be rejected by society so he can be hanging on a cross and forgive you of your sins? Then 3 days later, he arose to proclaim victory. He's already won. That means you and I won under his blood, under his punishment. You know why we don't believe it? Because we still think that God wants to get even with you and I. Well, he got even at the cross. You know what? He loves you. Father, I pray for that person watching right now that doesn't feel like they're valuable enough to fall in love once again. That person that doesn't believe that they can have a better job than the one they have right now. The one that doesn't believe that they can get out of debt, Lord. The one that gave up on realizing, Lord, that you do have a purpose and a plan and a destiny for their life. I pray for that person watching right now that their faith will be built watching this show, hearing our words to remind them that it's not over yet, that you have forgiven us for our sins. And Father, I release faith by the hearing of our voice to be built in their spirit, in their soul, in their mind, in their hearts, that will demolish every negative thought that has been spoken and every, Lord, every word. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe some of the words that has been spoken over your life since you were a kid. You were told you're dumb, you're no good, you're an idiot, you never amount to anything. All of those words are lies. You are more than a conqueror, the Bible says. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You got to start listening what God thinks about you. And that his plan for you is to succeed and not fail. I have to go. But I want to thank you for watching this program. I want to thank you for supporting me. Thank you for joining the Mondo Insider every month to help me win some souls and continue to preach the gospel around the world and take this message of restoration where no one has heard it before. You'd be surprised how many people haven't heard about the restoration that we get through Jesus Christ. Help me get this message out there. Help me bring hope to the world. It's not over yet. Together, we're going to be able to change the world and believe that standing in agreement, Matthew 18 and 19, we're going to see the fulfillment of a scripture once we come together. Go to the website, themondoshow.com. Find more information on how you can partner with me every single month. And if you just want to give a one-time gift, do that today and pray about whatever amount you want to give. And when you do that, I want to give you a free gift of my book, My Crazy Life. Some of you have lived a crazy life. Maybe you're living a crazy life right now, but I want you to know this is my book, My Crazy Life and the Moments That Brought a Gangster to Grace. It's a journey of faith, forgiveness, and is going to bring hope to you in the moment that you don't even realize that God can walk in and change your life. Hey, I have to go, but no matter what is going on around you, keep the faith. Gonna be all right. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.